الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، وبعد. My dear brothers, I want to remind myself and you about the most important thing that we have in our life, the most important need that we have. And that need is the need for the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no need which is bigger than this need, neither in this dunya nor in the next. The biggest need we have is the need for the forgiveness of Allah Jalla wa Ala. And see the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this specifically in the Qur'an with regard to His mercy and with regard to His forgiveness. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لَا تَقْنَتُوا مِن رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. He said, do not despair of the rahmat of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّهُ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who will forgive all the sins. إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. And He is غَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. So there is no sin that Allah will not forgive provided we make tawbah for it. And there are many sins that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives even without making tawbah. Now that does not mean that we don't make tawbah. We make tawbah but we forget. For example, today, the 9th of Dhul Hijjah, Yawm al-Arafah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on this day frees the maximum number of slaves from the hellfire. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the one who fasts on this day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive the sins of 1 year before and 1 year after this day. And the ulama have said that this refers to the minor sins. Wallahu alam. This forgiveness is our biggest need. And I thought today, let me talk about that because as it happens, Azhar reminded me that today is the 365th Fajr reminder. So we complete 1 year of these reminders, alhamdulillah. Ajeeb Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how He puts barakah, and when you start something, inshallah, we ask Allah for acceptance for these things, inshallah. So there is nothing which is more essential and nothing which is more important than forgiveness. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, one part of forgiveness therefore is to ask the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So continuously, always to ask the forgiveness of Allah. And Rasulullah himself said that he said, I asked the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 70 times. And some of the Sahaba reported, they said, we have counted up to 100 times. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to make istighfar. So one part of forgiveness is to seek the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there are two words that have been used in the Quran and also in terms of these question of forgiveness. One is istighfar, one is tawbah. Istighfar is to ask for forgiveness, tawbah is to turn towards Allah. Istighfar is to ask for forgiveness, tawbah is what happens thereafter. So I ask for forgiveness and then what do? I stop myself from that action which I ask forgiveness for. So tawbah is to turn towards Allah, meaning I have done something wrong, I realize, I ask, seek the forgiveness of Allah and then I stop doing that wrong thing. So istighfar is to correct your direction. And tawbah is to go in the new direction. Right? Istighfar is the U-turn. And tawbah is now back on the road of righteousness. So istighfar wal tawbah both are part of the same thing. And istighfar is the way that you make tawbah, which is to turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The other aspect of this is how we treat each other. Forgiveness is the basis of the ummah. Forgiveness is the basis of the love between one Muslim and another Muslim. The foundation of this ummah, the fabric of this ummah is forgiveness. And nobody taught this lesson better than Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself. What is a better lesson than somebody who was persecuted and who was maligned and who was character assassinated and on whom every kind of attempt at insulting and demeaning and defaming and eventually killing and then banishing from his own land. And the similar things were done to those who believed in him and those who were his friends and those who were his followers. To some of them, they were actually killed. Others were tortured physically and so on and so forth. Their land was confiscated. Their wealth was confiscated. Their rights were completely, oppressed, and their rights were denied. Not for 1 or 2 years, for 13 years, this continued until in a state of complete rejection, they were ejected and they were abolished from their own homeland. And then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala willed and sent them back to their homeland, not as plaintiffs and not as applicants and supplicants, but as conquerors. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood on the in the door of the Kaaba, and he asked those same people, the same people who had oppressed him, the same people whose niyat was bad and who were only now listening to him because of the force of arms, because he was there. He had the army with him. The same people who rejected him, the same man called them from the same place, and they used to laugh at him and they used to make fun of him and they used to reject him. But when the same man comes now with an army, they all come and stand there. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Tell me, what should I do with you? What should I do with you?" It was his right as a conqueror to kill them if he wanted, to enslave them if he wanted. He could have done, he need not have killed or enslaved them. He could have said, "All right, return whatever you took from us. Return whatever you took from us. And then you can go free." He could have done any of these things. But they asked him, he asked them, he said, "What shall I do with you?" And they said, "You are Karim, Ibnul Karim. You are our brother and you are most noble and you are the son of the one who is most noble." So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Then I free you. Go in peace." He did not ask for compensation. He did not extract any revenge. Nothing. And that's the reason why those people who, after Fatah Makkah, who were in the power of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they are called Al-Tulaqa, the freed slaves of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because he freed them. Otherwise, they would have been enslaved. Now think about that. If Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam had not freed them, if Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had extracted revenge, which was his right, nobody can deny that. But if he had done that, would an ummah of Muslims ever have formed? Because no matter what the right, if you kill somebody's father, he is not going to love you for that reason. If you kill somebody's son or his brother or his sister or his mother, they are not going to love you for that reason. No matter how much that brother or father or mother or sister deserve to be killed. The wife of Abu Sufyan, radiallahu anhu, Hinda radiallahu anha, she's a sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Did she not deserve to be killed for having engineered the killing of Hamza radiallahu anhu and then having done to him what she did to him in terms of mutilating his body and so on and so forth? Did she not deserve the death sentence? Could Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam not have said, "Kill her, kill her"? And I can give you any number of such examples, not just one. But we know that the character of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. At that time of Fatah Makkah, if Abu Jahl and Abu Lahab were alive, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam would have forgiven them also. He would have forgiven them also. The point I'm making is, having listened to these stories and having listened to the ayat of the Quran, we need to look at ourselves and say, what is my state of forgiving others? We are living in a state where, forget about anyone oppressing us and hurting us. I mean, when was the last time somebody chopped your hand? When was the last time somebody put you naked on the sand in the hot sun and put a stone on your chest? Did this happen to any of you? Never happened to me. When was the last time that somebody brought the intestines of a camel and put it on your head and on your neck while you were making salah? Nobody even put the intestines of a chicken on my head when I was making salah. So what am I and you offended about? What am I and you angry with our brothers for? Eh? We all have. May Allah forgive us. We all have. Somebody said this to me. Now I will never see his face again for the rest of my life. Our egos have expanded and they have bloated like hot air balloons. And that's why our feet are not on the ground. Because if you have a hot air balloon attached to your neck, then it is always going to keep you floating in the air. But that hot air balloon needs to be punctured. And that is our ego. Unhe mere ko salam nahi kare. Are nahi kare to? Ya kare honge, aap bhai rahe, sune nahi. Kon kya karna? Aap dekhe nahi. No, who knows? Any number of things can happen, no? Nahi bhi kare, bhul gaye. To? The point is that we have made this into a fine art, which is to gather unto ourselves anything that is floating in the air, and then to feel hurt and offended and so on and angry with our own brothers and sisters. And that is the cause for all the divisions in this ummah. Anything anybody says, including in public speeches, I mean, this has happened to me many times. I say something in a khutbah, and somebody comes and says, "Saab, mere ko bolya." Hare, you are one of 500 people sitting in that masjid. You're one of 10,000 people sitting in that masjid, and you tell me I spoke to you? You're crazy. You are a complete nutcase. Why? How would I speak to you? I'm speaking to 10,000 people. Now, if I say something, supposing I say red shirt, in this 10,000 people, right now there are two people sitting here with a red shirt. I said, "No, aap mere ko bole." Are, my God, I'm just saying red shirt, boss. I mean, you are wearing a red shirt. What can I do? Who told you to wear a red shirt? Crazy. I mean, I tell you, this is the root cause of the nifaq, of the tafriqat, of the divisions in our ummah. What is it? The tendency to take offense for things which have no reason or rhyme in logic. And why is that? Because our egos are bloated out of shape. They are like a hot air balloon which is around our neck and carrying us in the air. We need to shoot down that balloon. We need to burst this balloon. We need to burst the balloon. And the way to do that is to learn to forgive. I always give this example. Think about this. Many of you drive around on motorcycles, right? Supposing you are driving behind a garbage truck. You didn't go behind a garbage truck, but there's a garbage truck on the road. So what do? You're driving behind a garbage truck. And a piece of this garbage flies out of the truck and hits your shirt. Right? Some stinking stuff which hit your shirt. What do you do? What do you do? What should you do? If you are a logical, sensible human being, what should you do? Immediately flick it off and the first opportunity, wash that shirt. Yes? But what do we do? We rub this piece of garbage into the shirt. And every once in a while we smell it and you puke. And every once in a while again you smell it and again you Aish. That is what we do with regard to anything negative which somebody tells us. That's what we do with regard to anything negative which somebody tells us. There was a sheikh, he was sitting in his majlis and he told the people there, he said, "I'm going to tell you a joke." So he told them a joke. So they all laughed. And then the majlis continued. And after another 5 minutes, he said, "I'll tell you a joke." And he told them the same joke. So they still laughed. And after all, he's the sheikh, so we have to be polite. So they still laughed. Then after another 5 minutes, he said, "I'm going to tell you a joke." And he told them the same joke. So now people were kind of, you know, some laughed, some didn't laugh. Then after another 5 minutes, he said, "I'm going to tell you a joke." And he told them the same joke. And nobody laughed. So the sheikh said, "What? I told you a joke, you don't laugh." This is the sheikh, for God's sake, I mean, last 20 minutes he told the same joke 24 times, 5 times. Eh? How can we laugh for the same thing again and again? He said, "If you can't laugh for the same thing again and again, how come you cry for the same thing again and again?" Eh? He said, "If you can't laugh for the same thing again and again, how come you cry for the same thing again and again?" Somebody does one thing once, and you cry about that for the rest of your life. For the rest of your life, you are complaining about this particular thing which so-and-so did on such and such a day. Eh? He said, how is this possible? You can't laugh for something again and again. How can you cry for something again and again? My brother, I remind myself anew. Let us learn to forgive. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, give your brother 70 excuses. 70 times. If somebody says, so-and-so did this, no, maybe it was this reason. Maybe it was that reason. No, it's not that reason. You know, he took your name, he took your father's name, your grandfather's name, your great-grandfather's name, everything, your whole shizra. No, but maybe there is a reason. He said 70 reasons. He said, give your brother 70 excuses before you decide to get offended. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also said, he said that if you want Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala to forgive you on the day of judgment, forgive your brothers and sisters in this dunya. Do good here and Allah will do good for you there. And the thing to remember there is that if we want Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala to hide our faults, then we must hide the faults of others. We must put a covering on the others. Do not remove the hilaf of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Do not expose your brother. Do not expose your brother. If you know something about your brother which is not complimentary, don't tell the whole world about it. If you want to correct him, maybe there is a reason for you to tell some specific people. Because if he doesn't listen to you, for example, maybe you say, I think I should tell his uncle or tell his father or somebody so that he will correct him. I'm not talking about that. There's a niyyah is for helping the brother. Niyyah is for correcting the brother. It's not for defaming the brother. And Allah knows our niyyah. I'm talking about the general tendency that if somebody does something or we hear of something or we see something, then the tendency to tam-tam this thing all over the place. Akashwani, you know, they go the whole world and let the world know. You know what I saw him doing? So-and-so says, you know, my brother here, Saad, is a very good man. Arre, wo aapko kya malum, kya kare? What do you know about Saad? And remember, many times we don't have to actually say anything wrong. It is just the way we say something. If somebody says Saad, you say, oh, Saad. Now, I have not said anything. So, I said, why did you say anything bad? I didn't say anything bad about Saad. But did I say anything bad or not? What do you think? What does it sound like? Do not remove the covering or try to remove the covering that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put on others. Because as Ibn al-Qayyim or Ibn al-Jawzi, Allah alam, between the two of them, I think it was Ibn al-Jawzi who said this. He said that if somebody praises you, they are praising the covering that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put on you. Not praising you. He said they are praising the covering that Allah has put on you. Do not think it is praise for you. It is praise for the covering that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put on. If Allah removes that cover, they will not praise you anymore. They will say different things. So let us be very, very clear in our minds that this is an ummah of forgiveness. We worship a Rabb who forgives. We follow a Nabi who forgave. And if we want to follow the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one of the most important sunnahs of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if not the most important sunnah, is to forgive others. Is to forgive others. Don't even wait for someone to ask you for forgiveness. You forgive. Let him ask, let him not ask. That's his problem. You forgive. And do remember, if somebody criticizes us, it's only one of two things. Either the criticism is correct, in which case let me correct myself. Or the criticism is wrong, so it doesn't matter. Why do I bother about something wrong? If someone tells me, Yaar bhai, you are a donkey. Right? Now, am I a donkey? Maybe the man never saw a donkey. So he does not know what a donkey looks like, right? So why should I be offended? If somebody says, you are ghade, I am ghade, nahi humko maloom hai. So chinde ki kya baat hai bhai? Why must you be angry if someone tells you something which is completely insane? For what? And if someone tells you something which is correct, in fact, then look at it yourself and correct yourself. Alhamdulillah. But we get very far. Maine ghada bola. Hari, aap ghade hai kya? Hai to bhi aap chinda nahi chahiye, because ghada ko ghada bola to chinda kya baat hai? ना चिड़ने की बात। गधे को गधा बोला तो नहीं चिड़ना, गधे नहीं है तो भी नहीं चिड़ना, बिकॉज इन एनी केस आप गधे नहीं है तो आपको क्या प्रॉब्लम है। इफ यू आर अ डोंकी एंड ही कॉल्स यू अ डोंकी देन इज करेक्ट, सो व्हाई आर यू एंग्री? एंड इफ यू आर नॉट अ डोंकी एंड ही कॉल्स यू अ डोंकी देन ऑल्सो व्हाई आर यू एंग्री? वी हैव टू रिमाइंड आवर सेल्फ्स दैट वी नीड टू फॉरगिव पीपल। Only when we forgive each other will we reach a stage where this ummah, the hearts will come together again. If there is one single thing which I want to remind myself and you about, it is the importance of keeping the hearts together, of bringing the hearts together. We are far too much focused on criticizing each other. We are far too focused on looking for differences. And we are far less focused on keeping hearts together. Ajib, the nature of this ummah is so strange today that we worry, why are we divided and so on. This is typical of us as Muslims today. We want to look for things to blame people. Whether they concern us, they don't concern us. We may not even know who the individual is. You want to hunt all over the internet to find someone that you can criticize. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. What kind of perverted and corrupt minds have we got? Let us change this. Let us make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today is a day, Yawmul Arafah, 9th of Dhul Hijjah. Let us use this day to make tawbah. Ask Allah to forgive us. I ask Allah to forgive all of us, inshallah. And from now, make a niyyah, we will forgive each other. We will not carry garbage on our shirts. We will not smell that garbage again and again. That's a nasty thing to do. Go wash the shirt. And forget. If somebody said something to you, alhamdulillah, no problem. Forget it. Forgive. Do not carry that stuff with you. Because that is the root cause of the divisions. Subhanallah, we have got divisions in families. We've got problems between brothers and sisters. We've got problems between sons and mothers and fathers. How many cases do I know where people have families have broken up and all that on nothing? Just like so-and-so said this to me. My brother or my sister said this to me and therefore now I'm offended. I don't talk to them. What Islam is this? This is not the Islam of Muhammad or Rasulullah. As I said, we worship our Rabb who forgives. And we follow a Nabi who forgave. So let us bring that quality into ourselves and become people who forgive. Because if we do not forgive, then we have nothing in common with the Nabi who forgave. And we do not have a justification to stand before the Rabb who forgives. Let us not put ourselves into that position. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open our hearts, to make us people who forgive, and who make us people who are willing to forgive each other and to bring our hearts close together. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept all our du'as inshaAllah on this day today. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with us. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajmain. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimeen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.